Welcome to the Bangtan Epiphany, episode 54. This week we are talking about the legendary performance from BTS at Citi Field. We mentioned last week that this performance was a big epiphany moment for Jimin, and we have to agree, this concert was amazing, and it is crazy, so let's get into it. So, Citi Field.
Oh, man. It was awesome doing that episode about Promise.
Yeah.
And then watching Citi Field.
Oh, yeah. No, that was like, I don't know, you could do it both ways. You know, you could watch Citi Field first and then.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, kind of figure out Promise. But, like, knowing that, had we ever seen Citi? No, we had never seen it before.
Yeah.
We'd seen Love Yourself before, the concert.
Yeah.
But we'd never seen the Citi Field performance before. But knowing that that's what Jimin said was like the moment for him.
Yeah.
Where the idea of Promise kind of came together.
Yeah, like it's crazy. Like the birth of that moment.
Yeah.
And you, I don't know, for me, I watch it and I'm almost like, there it is.
There it
is.
You
know,
it's kind of a trip.
Yeah, you get it captured on screen.
It's like you know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
Because he has this really emotional reaction, especially at the end of the concert. You can kind of see him like going through something. He's like having an epiphany, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
On stage.
Yeah. And we're kind of crazy, you know, we'll do everything backwards, right? The end of the concert was very much like I could feel it too. Like
yeah.
It had a feeling to it. It's wild. Like you think, oh, this BTS concert, I'll just skip it or whatever. Like we'd seen a few. But now that I've seen a few concerts, like every single one is amazing and like kind of monumental and special in its own way.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah.
I was thinking that we'd probably want to see like each concert. At first I was like, it'd be cool to just see Wings once, Love Yourself once, Speak Yourself once, you know, like
yeah,
just have each of the different concerts and at least have one recording of it. That makes sense. That's normal. And then when I saw the difference between the first concert of Wings and the last concert of Wings, I'm like, well, now I know you have to see the beginning and the end. And then when I saw that like different crowds have like a totally different energy, I was like, well, maybe like you could watch the same version of the same concert and still get something different from it.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I will literally watch anything. I'll watch every performance I do.
Yeah. It's wild. We watched, we've seen a few others. You know, we did that Bang Bang Con back in 2020 where they played like 2 days of concerts.
Yeah.
Which was just, it was hardcore.
That was amazing.
Like,
that was so fun. I was really tired though.
Well, yeah, it was like what 12 like hours
total,
a piece?
24 hours of concerts.
Yeah,
over 2 days, it was awesome. But yeah, watching Citi Field, I'm like, I'm so glad that we bought the recording of this, and then this is the exact one because they only played Citi Field once.
Yeah, it was like kind of before the. Before the whole double date thing. And,
right.
And it was their first stadium.
First stadium.
Yeah.
One night
only.
Like 40,000 people. First American stadium, we should say.
Yeah.
They did stadiums before this. But first stadium by a Korean act in America, period.
Yeah.
So it was a historical concert. And they were all feeling it. Like, when you watch the behind the scenes, they're kind of talking about what a big deal this is. And their like interview questions are all like, well, what's it like being so successful? You know, it's about that feeling of like reaching this level of success. And what's crazy to me is that Speak Yourself was twice that. Speak Yourself was the Rose Bowl and MetLife and like these huge, huge places.
Yeah, Wembley. That
they would sell out two nights. Wembley.
Yeah.
So the scale, even though like at that point they're like, well, this is it. We made it to the top. Love Yourself is the top. They literally came back for their next tour and doubled what they were doing. More than doubled, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of like tickets sold per city. Which is wild. Like it's hard to imagine like 40,000 people all from the, you know, general area of New York agreeing on one thing. Right?
Well, yeah.
Agreeing enough that they're going to pay money to like go see this concert and wait in line and all of that and just be totally excited and jazzed. And like, I don't know. There was a few moments where the camera sees what they see.
Yeah, yeah.
Sees the crowd in the stadium. And they always kind of pan over the crowd. But when the camera view was like right from the stage.
Like the BTS perspective.
The real BTS perspective. What they see when they walk out on that stage. It's like crazy.
Yeah, it's intense.
That city field is, because it's a baseball field. So it's really big. And then it has like everyone's around the stage on the ground. There's a huge, like the lowest level is really, really big. So like the GA level is giant. And then there's like three tiers, right?
Yeah, because like they're basically like playing on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they build a stage in the outfield and it's just, it's huge.
Yeah, it's immense. And they just pack it in. And then the stands, of course, are filled to the brim. And it's just wild and crazy.
Yeah. So the scale of it is really cool.
Yeah, I think the numbers they're saying in the concert was like 40,000.
Yeah.
Which, you know, today we're like, we scoff at 40,000 or whatever, right? Like,
I mean, I don't know if anything can top like Wembley, right? Isn't Wembley like 80,000 or something insane?
Yeah, I think it's pretty crazy, right?
It's huge. But at that moment, like that was a pivotal moment. So I think they were emotional because it's pretty wild that they broke this record for Korean acts.
Yeah.
And they were kind of the first one. And that was significant. It was also like, they're finishing their US tour. So it was the last night before they went on to Europe.
Yeah.
And they're in the middle of, you know, writing their next albums.
Yeah.
Cause they always are on tour.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
and it was just a very cool moment. Oh, and the other really big deal is that Namjoon just gave his speech at the UN.
Yeah.
One of my favorite speeches of all time.
Well, yeah.
And you can tell, like, what he's thinking about and how he's thinking about it. His speech at Citi Field at the end. Let me put it this way. When I was trying to, like, I get really into concerts. Like, when I'm watching them, I'm super engaged. I'm almost, like, not thinking about them. I'm like just experiencing them.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes when I think back, it's hard to remember exactly what happened because I was just like so into it. It's like my brain just turned off. It's just like I'm just enjoying. But like I'm so into it that like I'll there'll be like these moments that just make it for me. And I was accumulating those moments during the concert, right?
Yeah, it's a yeah, long they're concert. Just building up and stacking.
Yeah, I'm like, oh man, that moment was so cool, and oh, that choreography was so amazing, and oh, that other thing was so funny and so good. And like, seriously, Namjoon gave his speech, and my brain was like wiped clean.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I don't even know what happened before this speech. This is like one of the best things I've ever heard. And I mean his ending meant.
Yeah, yeah. It was like all those moments your brain was like, okay, get out. We need to make room for this.
We need to make room for this. This is the thing that you need to remember more than anything else. And that's what Citi Field was for me. It was Jimin's moment of epiphany and just how emotional he got at the end of that concert. And then what Namjoon said. what Namjoon said, it was his speech where he says, use me to love yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think it's been seen many times. It's quite famous.
It's really famous. It's really impactful.
Yeah.
Wow. It blew me away. Like, I'd even seen this speech before out of context. I'm telling you, if you've never seen City Field, but you know that speech I'm talking about, watch the concert and then watch the speech.
Yeah.
It just, it hits different.
Yeah, no, that's for real. I mean, it's a whole package, a whole experience.
Yeah.
And we watched everything. Like, we watched the concert and then we watched the behind making. And pretty much, you need it all. It completes the whole experience.
Yeah, it does.
Because they are like, you know, I've said this before, but they are like, they're good. Like, they pull it off. You're watching it and you're like, this is crazy and awesome. But there's also things you notice, like, oh, it's raining.
Oh, yeah.
It is raining a lot.
It's raining a lot. Yeah, they have a few rain mishaps.
Yeah, well, it was raining so much, and you see them, like, compensate for that.
Yeah.
As they perform. It's really cool.
What's amazing is that, like, they're outside, and it is raining on the stage, and the way that they, like, accommodate the fact that it's raining is so seamless. You're only going to see it if you look for it.
Yeah.
I think there's only one moment where it's real obvious that, like, a move wasn't made. And I think during J-Hope's Just Dance, there's this part where he, like, jumps over to backup dancers.
Yeah, they, like, kind of do a little bend, a fold, and he jumps over them.
And he jumps over their bodies, and, like, he came up to them, and he was like, nope, and he just kept going.
Yeah.
And for me, like, I was like, oh, I guess he would have jumped there. But I barely noticed.
Yeah.
He did it so, like, professionally and easily.
Yeah. And same here. Like, we'd seen the performance before of Just Dance. And so you expect the jump or something. But when I saw him do that, I'm like, oh, that's smart. Like, instantly, yeah. I was like, he made the right decision.
Yeah.
Because of how rainy it was.
It was bad. I mean, Tay really bit it.
Well, yeah, but that was during, like, playtime, you know?
Yeah, he bit it hard, man. He slipped where his feet came out from under him and just, like, hit the ground.
Yeah, like one of those things where you slip and you go horizontal in the air.
Yeah, you just slam down. And it was funny, like, I would have been worried about him, but I was watching Jin, and Jin just lost it.
Yeah.
He thought it was the most hilarious thing he'd ever seen.
Yeah, they were pretty much all dying.
Namjoon looked really concerned and, like, came over and picked Tae up, but Tae was, like, laughing.
Yeah.
He just laughed the whole time.
Yeah, and you can't really see it during the concert. They do, you know, clever editing.
Yeah,
but they do. You notice that something happens, and if you're good with those freeze frames, you see a foot. A random foot.
The corner of Tay just sliding and slapping on the ground. Oh, poor kid.
Yeah.
But, oh man, they're so hilarious. That moment was just made more hilarious just by their different reactions.
Yeah, yeah.
Namjoon's like, oh dear, let me go pick him up. And Jin's like, oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, you see concern and elation. Yeah.
I love Jin. Oh my God. The concerts are just so much fun. I mean, their energy is crazy.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think about this because, like, you know, when I'm watching, like, a really good film or, like, a really amazing show, I'll get tunnel vision and I'll get, like, really into it where I'm kind of just watching it. But even though there's a lot of stuff that I've watched lately that's really good, I only get that tunnel vision for, like, a couple minutes at a time. You know what I mean? Where you're, like, you're so engaged that you're not even talking about anything. You're not thinking about anything else. You know? Like, you're not, like, partially bored.
Yeah. I get it.
I mean, most things I watch, I am partially bored most of the time. And we will start out watching a concert and we'll be, like, chatting and, like, observing things together and, like, having a good time. And then the two of us will just shut up. We just stop talking and we're just, like, so quiet because we're just watching.
Yeah, and it comes in waves. Like, the beginning is so epic, usually we're just, like, blown away.
We're just blown away.
And then we might chat a little bit, but then, like, yeah, it just comes and goes. Like, yeah. Certain moments, we're just like, whoa.
But, like, considering it's, like, you know, 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
Most of the time that we're watching a concert, just in our living room, we're, like, really quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because we're just like, whoa. We're so engaged.
We should probably, like, maybe we just fake it, like, get our army bombs out and start jumping around, you know?
Yeah.
We'll just pretend.
I mean, we are kind of pretending. Like, yeah. I feel very much like I'm there. I'm just also warm and comfortable at home.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Because I'm like, oh, man, I just assume everyone's being rained on.
I mean, those people froze.
Yeah.
They froze.
Yeah, it was October.
They, like, had really good energy. Oh, except they were a little bit pushy.
Oh, yeah, that was so funny.
Because, like, 2 or 3 times during the concert, Namjoon's like, now don't push each other.
Yeah, he was like, apparently there's some mosh pit action with the army.
I mean, that sounds kind of awesome somehow.
I know. I mean, I get it.
Army, you get, mosh pit.
You get that mic drop going or something.
You just get all riled up, man.
Yeah. Start throwing elbows. No, it was really funny. He said it at least 3 times.
He did, didn't yeah. he? It was pretty funny.
He was like, be nice.
No, yeah, so, like, there were so many amazing things that, like, caught my attention. But I think overall it's, like, it's one of the few things I watch where I'm somewhere else. It's like a true diversion from life.
Yeah, and it I don't know, it really just takes you there.
It takes you there.
Like, we went to Citi Field.
I mean, we spend a lot of time on BTS, right? Like, so we're super fans. So, like, when we're watching it, we're really interested in, like, not just the thing overall, but, like, all the details.
Yeah.
Like, we're thinking about what Jimin said about Promise. We're thinking about, like, the meanings of the songs and, like, where they were at this moment in time and, like, what was going on. And so there's this big impact, right?
Yeah.
It's layered. There's, like, all these different thoughts while you're watching, and then you just get kind of carried away. It's almost like there's few things I do where I'm just completely engaged and I'm not worried about anything else.
Yeah, I love that kind of laser focus that you can get.
Me too. It means you're really enjoying something.
Yeah. And right? you're fully, like, experiencing it. There's so many cool moments in this concert as well. There's a part at the end where J-Hope, you see him, like, go down, like, towards the crowd, and you don't quite get what he's doing. You're just like, oh, he's going down to the crowd.
You're but like, then, no, J-Hope, you're not safe.
Yeah, be careful. But then in the making of film, you get what he was doing.
He gave away his little acorn bag.
Yeah, his little pouch. He was like, I really, like, I made some eye contact with this army, and she was rocking it hard. You know, he, like, appreciated her, so he gave her his bag.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And it was, like, in the making of, you get the close-up version, and it's terrifying. It's like,
I'm like, they're gonna grab him and kidnap him, and he will be gone forever.
He'll be lost forever.
He'll just be lost in this sea of people. You'll never see him again. I mean, they got excited.
Well, yeah, I mean, J-Hope was coming down.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just decided to do this thing. Like, he just decided to give his little bag away as, like, because it was the last time they were going to be in America.
Yeah, exactly.
For a while. And, yeah, that was really cool. I don't know. Lots of other things. Their energy is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's just amazing.
Kicking it off, of course, with Idol.
With Idol!
And as if you know, like, Idol was it always kicked their butts, you know? Like,
it's so hard. And yeah. It's their first song.
Yeah. Because you got to kick it off with an explosion, you know?
Yeah. And the solo songs are so amazing. Serendipity. Euphoria.
And you got Seesaw.
Seesaw!
Yep. And Singularity.
With Yoongi in red on his couch. Oh, mm-hmm. I love it.
And I love that Singularity performance.
Singularity is crazy.
That performance is so awesome.
It's so awesome. I love it so much. It's one of my, it probably is my all-time favorite Tay performance. It's just so cool.
Yeah.
With the masks. So, like, what's cool is that this is the earlier version, right?
Yeah.
Of Love Yourself. And then they did different versions later. So
yeah, during Speak Yourself.
I love Serendipity, but my favorite one is the one where he's in the snow globe.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
one's just amazing.
Yeah. That one's awesome.
But I like this version of Singularity better, where he's just doing the masks and then he's playing with the coat rack.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Maybe it feels a bit more intimate.
Yeah. There's another one where he's like on this weird prop bed that sort of like comes up.
Okay.
Do you remember that one?
Maybe.
It's like the... They juiced up all the solo performances during the tour, right? Like, I actually think I like Seesaw. I like this Seesaw, but I like the Seesaw where he's like walking on the treadmills.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like a city behind him. That one's really cool.
Yeah, that one's wild. And I think that's from Speak Yourself. Probably, we probably saw that at Wembley.
Yeah.
The Singularity at Wembley, if I'm remembering correctly, was just crazy. It's got the bubble. You know?
You mean Serendipity.
Yeah, Serendipity.
There's a lot of...
Sorry.
...similar words.
But yeah, he's got the bubble and he pops it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the killer is that outfit.
Is that shirt.
Yeah.
Is the shirt.
Yeah.
The shirt that has one sheer panel on the left, or I guess his right.
Yeah.
On the right, so you can see his tattoo.
Yeah. And it's beautiful.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
But the choreography for Serendipity, like... Ugh. I mean, come on. Come on, Jimin. Why do you have to be so good? What are you playing with, sir? Being that amazing? Come on now.
Yeah, and RM, too. He stepped it up.
Oh, RM.
For his solo.
His solo. One of my all-time favorite RM solos.
Yeah, and, like, I love it. It's just fun, you know?
It's so him. It's, like... Oh, such a good song. And it's just like, I love RM in his like robe.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you could just see him wearing this outfit when he goes into the studio to like jam out. Like, and he's just on the stage and it's just him. And I don't know. It's so appealing. It just feels like Namjoon and feels like his style. And I just... really love it.
Yeah, and with J-Hope's, he of course kills it, and then later with Speak Yourself, they just kind of turn it up to 11, I think.
Yeah, and Just Dance is the one where he's on top of that, like,
that okay, that's thing. That's terrifying.
When that's
he's,
terrifying.
He's on this platform that they raise up, and he's dancing up
and he's
there.
Dancing on it, yeah. It's
and
like
I'm
this
like,
long, tall platform.
Every time I see it, I'm like, okay, roller coasters, no, but that's fine.
Well, it just reminds me of this quote from Namjoon. I have no idea where I heard it from, but I heard a long time ago where someone asked him, like, oh, isn't J-Hope afraid when he has to go up on those high things during a stage? And Namjoon said something like, I've never seen J-Hope be afraid or hesitate when it comes to a stage.
Yeah, yeah.
When he's performing, he never hesitates. He never shows fear.
Yeah.
And it's just true. Like, that's J-Hope. Like, when he's on the stage, he's in his natural element. Even
if
it's a weird, elaborate stage.
Yeah, that's the performer, J-Hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so cool. All
right, so on to epiphanies. Jimin's epiphany. He has this moment at the end, and I kind of get it, like, You're not in his head, so you don't think what he's thinking, but I can get the idea of, like, things are, like, when something hits you in a certain way, and it just, like, touches you, and you get, like, emotions, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what it was like. It's just, like, he just kind of looked out at the ocean, you know, the ocean of ARMY, you know, of purple, and just, he was overwhelmed, you know?
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's just, like... It's a cool experience. And then in the making of, like the behind, it's cool. He's not really saying what's happening. He's just kind of like, you know, he's overwhelmed. And of course, everyone is teasing him, right?
I think what's funny is like Jimin is so good at comforting them.
Yeah.
And they're not great at comforting him.
Yeah. It's like they just like poke at him.
He's like the comfort person.
Yeah. And like he comforts them like very sweetly. And then when he, you know, seems to need some comfort, they just kind of laugh and poke him.
Yeah. They just tease him.
Yeah.
But I did think that in those behind, it was really sweet. Because I think Namjoon was really feeling that concert and that night.
Yeah.
You can just kind of tell.
Yeah.
And then Jimin was obviously really feeling that concert. So in the behind, like, I don't know, Namjoon's just clinging to him. And they're both kind of feeling a similar feeling. That's the idea I got. So I think that was comforting, but also just like the thing I want to say about Jimin, because I don't think he gets credit for this, but I think he's one of the strongest people. I think he's one of the strongest members, like in terms of his emotional strength. And the reason I say that is because he is free with his emotions. He lets himself get emotional and he's not afraid of those emotions. I mean, when he was out on stage at the end, just sort of looking around, being overcome and crying, I don't think that he like necessarily wanted to cry. I think it's hard to cry in front of other people. Like you naturally try to suppress it.
Sure.
He was just overwhelmed. So he let himself cry and he let himself just experience it, experience that emotion and that overwhelming feelings.
Yeah, and that amazing freedom of just like letting it flow like in him, in like into him and out of him.
Yeah, and that is a very mature, like, I don't know, that's a really good thing to do, is to let yourself just feel something in a moment and to just experience it and let it be sort of emotional and overwhelming and just sit with that feeling. I think that's very wise. That's a good way to allow yourself to process emotion instead of trying to suppress it, right?
Yeah, and it's very healthy too, right?
Yeah.
You try to suppress things and they're gonna get out one way or another, you know, they're gonna seep out around the edges.
Exactly. So like, and that's kind of the magic of performers, right? Is that they're, you know, they're performing choreography and music and like that, doing that well, doing that perfectly, trying to achieve like a perfect performance is not just having your body hit the right spot and while keeping to the beat and while singing or rapping. It's not just the doing it. It's how you do it. Like there's a world of difference between two performers whose bodies move in around the same way and who sing the same notes, but one who is doing it with emotion.
Yeah.
Performing with like their whole being, and one who is like thinking about something else or just not really there.
Yeah. And that's the thing I think we've talked about before, is it's actually kind of perceivable.
If
you're paying attention, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you have to pay attention enough to try to see it, but like I think it's really clear.
Yeah, and then that's the thing is for someone like maybe us who have, you know, honed our senses, it's
just because we've watched so many performances at this point.
Yeah, and it just, you get this sense, this like powerful sense of the performance, like you can just watch it and you're like, I'm not really feeling this one, but then another one that's maybe the same, like similar, there's a difference to it and you're like, wow, there's something about that one.
Yeah. And I have to say that like there's no member of BTS that doesn't constantly impress me with the level and dedication of their performance.
Yeah.
Like they're all seven of them are amazing performers. Just amazing. And you can tell how much emotion and intention goes in to them getting out on stage.
Yeah.
You and can I think, feel their energy.
Yeah. And there's a, I think it's, you know, it's something very special with BTS, but also there's something that Suga said that kind of makes sense. Like the way he was saying in the behind about how they had to work for this and they made it to this level on their blood, sweat, and tears, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing was handed to them. So that passion for performance and all that really comes through.
And that they all had to have it.
Yeah.
I think I've seen other groups where you can tell that one person is like not feeling it or having a really bad day or whatever. Right. That happens and that's normal and that's fine. But I've never really witnessed that with BTS. I've never seen like one of them give a bad concert.
Yeah. And there's another thing, like kind of flip side to something that is interesting about what Suga said is that idea of like they earned it, you know, like when you see someone who's maybe just been given something,
they
might not necessarily cherish it or care about it as much as someone who fought really hard to attain it.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I thought that was really cool too, because so they were from such a small company. So the way that they had to distinguish themselves, it couldn't be how elaborate and expensive the staging was. It couldn't be like, you know, getting on television right away or getting popular right away for some external reason. The only reason they were going to get any fans is if they gave such shockingly good performances to the small crowd that was in front of them, that those people would go and tell other people just what a great time they had.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that was their real plan from the very beginning, is to just give amazing performances that would bring in new fans. And so they slowly started getting more fans as time passed. They had this gradual incline towards success. So that's why, even though they're all millionaires now and they're all like breaking records, not just for a K-pop act, but for like a pop act, a music act at all.
Yeah, yeah.
For anyone. They're like, you know, dominating the music industry. They're still so humble and they still work so hard. I mean, Matsone.
Oh my God.
I've never seen them work so hard, you know, in my life. Like,
that was an experience.
I think Namjoon must have had a heart attack halfway through that performance. Like, Jesus.
Like, I maybe had multiple heart attacks
just watching it. I had multiple heart attacks just watching it. Yeah. Damn, Namjoon. Like, damn all of them. Like,
I mean, like, weird. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, damn.
Yeah.
They are working so hard. And so I don't think that ever changed from day one to 7 years on. What's never changed is this dedication that they give performances.
Yeah, and they just perfectly translate it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that for, if you're in a group that you skyrocket to success, or like you're from a big company, so you've got an instant fandom without doing anything, you might not relate how hard you work to how popular you are. You might relate how big your company is to how popular you are, right? Or what your company does to how popular you are. But BTS know that their popularity rests solely on their shoulders. You know what I mean? Like, they know that they built ARMY off of what they've done.
Yeah.
And what they continue to do. So they take everything that they do with this same level of seriousness.
Yeah.
And that's not to, like, say that bands can't be good if they start out popular, like, I don't think that's true. I just think it's harder for, especially because they start out so young and in K-pop, like, I think it's harder for them to have that mindset, to learn that, like, how they give a concert is going to be proportional to how the fans feel about them.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a good point. Thinking about this idea of earning what you have or something.
Yeah.
I really feel Bang PD feels this, and one of the ways I saw him, like, deliver this message was when he talked to an hypen. There was this little program we watched where, in hypen,
you really get a better sense of who Bang PD is.
It was amazing. He sits them all down and they're like, yay, we've debuted. And he's like, listen.
This is at their welcoming party.
Yeah.
There's for becoming cake and a debuted group at Big Hit. And they're all excited.
They get to have phone calls with their parents, all that.
They're like, finally, after doing this show and being locked in this weird, you know, Hunger Games building for yeah. 6 months through COVID, they're finally debuting and they're getting to Big Hit for the first time. Their eyes are all big and
they're all happy.
Shiny, happy, adorable teenagers. And Bing PD sits them down and is like, you're going to have to work for it.
Yeah, he's like,
right?
Listen, you haven't earned this yet.
You haven't earned anything.
And it's amazing.
You will earn it with your sweat.
You see their faces just
crumble. It's so, I mean, you have to laugh.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be fine. But, you know, like this, there's this intense edge of like being an idol is work that an idol does, not work that the company does. And that's a really important mindset. I think that, I mean, we want to talk about this later, like kind of like things about the idol industry that we're figuring out, that, you know, good things and bad things, because there's bad things and there's also good things. And how do you, you know, when you're going to create an idol group in the way that these things happen in Korea, like, there's very different recipes.
Oh yeah.
With very different results.
Yeah.
And I think what's kind of amazing about BTS is that they had nothing when they started. So they focused in on the things that they did have.
Yeah.
They had passionate love for music and expressing themselves. They had freedom to express themselves however they wanted. I mean, they were writing songs before they debuted. Namjoon was steering the ship of BTS and what BTS was from the very start.
Yes.
Like years before they debuted.
Yeah.
He was already figuring out what it meant to be that band and what his band was going to be like. And he was doing that by producing and writing lyrics, you know? J-Hope was steering that band's performance with his extraordinarily high standards.
Oh, yeah.
Which he does to this day.
Yeah, that's the thing. You see it in City Field.
Yeah.
You see him like, be like, all right, you know, and he does this thing. That's his job.
That's his job. He's the performance leader. He's, I liked the behind the scenes where you could see the rehearsal. You could see J-Hope like, just be like, okay, you need to be like on this line.
Yeah.
And you need to step like 2 feet back. And he's like looking at it. He's rehearsing with them and like just watching the positioning. Like he's doing that all the time.
Yeah.
And his standards are so high for perfection. And that hasn't changed. I mean, like, that's what's kind of amazing. Whatever training and help Big Hit did in the beginning for BTS was training and help not to control them, but to teach them to be independent. I mean, you can tell that that's true because from the point they debuted until now, they've become more and more independent as artists.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if someone was to say, oh, well, Big Hit controls them and dictates what they do and they don't do as artists, that's a really easy thing to counter. It's obviously not true because you can see how, like, they'll have a conversation, a personal conversation, and it'll turn into song lyrics 3 months later, you know?
Yeah, that's for real.
You can just track those things happening over and over again. You can see that Namjoon gives a speech about how he's trying to figure out how to love himself, and then he writes a whole, like, dissertation via album about the psychology of figuring yourself out. Like, this is what's going on in their minds, and they're expressing it through their art form. And with every rehearsal, you can see how it's their standards that they're applying to making sure that the performance is good. It's their level of quality.
Yeah.
That is the bar.
Yeah. And like the way I see it translated, just to bring it back to like performances, you know, Jungkook, he does Euphoria in the Love Yourself setting. And then during the Speak Yourself setting, he's like, you know, I want to fly around the stadium.
I would just pay so much money to see the conversation.
Yeah.
The first conversation that they had when they decided to do that.
Yeah. And then the like concern on J-Hope's face.
Yeah.
Like...
It just J-Hope's reaction to it. I want to see Jungkook present the idea and then J-Hope react to the idea.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I already have a version that's probably pretty close.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's cool. Like he has this idea and then they're like, sure, we'll throw you on a wire.
We'll throw you around a stadium on a string. Why not?
It's so crazy. And then maybe
our
a
precious
settler.
Golden Maknae just flying around.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
And then a more subtle version of that is like Jin, where he's doing Epiphany. Amazing performance.
I love it so much.
In Love Yourself and then Speak Yourself. He's like, I want space piano.
I want a space piano. I loved the space piano. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I get really emotional every time I hear Epiphany.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's one of the songs that I relate to the most personally. In like, I get that point of view of Jin's. Like, the point of view of the song Epiphany, the person speaking in that song, I just really relate to it. I really relate to kind of his personality in looking at loving yourself. And like, both the deep pain that he sort of reveals and the acceptance and how they're kind of like in a marriage, the pain and the acceptance, and they kind of go back and forth.
Yeah, that's really cool. I really like that too. And then also like his other thing that he has where he's like, you know, you just got to live in the moment. Like he's been,
oh, I love that
he
so
was
much.
Talking about that back then too. So
yeah,
that's really cool.
Man, that's such an important concept. And maybe that's another reason why I love watching concerts is because everything's so immediate, right? Like they're doing something that's so intense, both emotionally and creatively and physically. And there's all this energy going back and forth. Like there's BTS's energy performing it. And then there's the huge crowd responding to it. And it makes you stay in the moment.
Yeah.
Makes you stay in that moment because there's so much intensity. And staying in the moment is like awesome. It feels awesome.
Well,
it
yeah.
feels really good. And I do it so rarely. It's been such a stressful year. Every time I look at myself, I'm like, am I much worse off than I thought I was? Like, am I just way crazier than I ever thought? Have I just been delusionally thinking that I was pretty normal and I could have hope about my life getting better? And now I realize how down in the dumps I really am.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's that quarantine life, right?
But it's like, dude, I've gone through this year just like everyone else. No wonder.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not unusual to look at your life and feel kind of horrified after 2020.
Yeah, that's like, why you got to take those daily doses of Epiphany, you know, and Jin.
Well, I think that's why these little moments are so profound, because like just spending an evening, you know, being in a concert, you know, just watching it and feeling like it's the only thing I am even thinking about, just letting everything else in my life just fall to the side for those 3 hours. I don't know. It feels like a therapy session. It's amazing.
No, yeah, that's for real. It's cool because... It kind of is, right? You're able to like let go of all that stuff,
yeah.
you know, that's maybe holding you down or holding you back. And you can just sit there at either a zero balance or a positive and like let BTS help you and and influence you and all the feelings you get from that, you know? And you could get some great epiphanies from that.
And what's crazy to me is it would be enough if it was just as beautiful and creative and, you know, just all these emotions that they're expressing. If it was just the fun, amazing time that it is. But it's not just fun. Then you have Namjoon coming in just, you know, wrecking you with his beautiful philosophy. And you have Jimin with his, like, overpouring love and emotion. And just, like, the sincerity of Jungkook. The intensity of Tae. The, like, vulnerability of Min Yoongi when he's doing Seesaw, like, versus Suga doing Tear. It's kind of like, it's on a different level. It's not just like amazing entertainment that you can just enjoy for 3 hours. There's like catharsis in it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's beyond that somehow. And I feel like it's pretty, I mean, we say this shit a lot. But it doesn't stop being true for me.
Yeah.
Like, I keep experiencing it again, and it doesn't, like, lessen, right?
And it's still, like, profound.
Yeah, it remains profound.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, so, like, that's, like, before the encore stage, that the end of that concert, right, before the intermission and then the encore stage, is so powerful, right? Yeah. They hit you with, like, singularity and fake love and then Seesaw and epiphany. So you get this dope, like, end of all the solos. And then they come back with, like, The Truth Untold,
right? Yeah. After Jin's epiphany.
Yeah.
Where they're in those flower shirts.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I just have this thing about the four vocalists just standing next to each other, looking into each other's eyes as they sing. It's just so, I love it so much.
Yeah.
I love vocal line songs so much.
Yeah, and The Truth Untold, man, it just hits.
It just hits, and it's, like, so sweet and beautiful. And I feel their affection for the crowd, but I also feel their affection for each other.
Yeah, and the feelings that they're feeling, the emotions.
Yeah. It's pretty hard-hitting.
Yeah, and then you got hit in that way, and then they come with outro Tear.
And that's where I'm like...
And they hit you in a whole nother way.
It hits you in a whole nother way. I, like, can't handle Tear anymore.
I know.
I mean, ever since they told us what that song is about, I, like, can't handle it. And I'm like, how is it that the vocal line gives this amazing performance, goes off stage, they're getting changed, right? And they have to jump right out after Tear. So while they're changing, they're listening to their own breakup song.
Yeah, well, they're listening to their hung line.
Intensely delivered by their rap line.
Yeah.
How does that make them feel?
I think they're doing their makeup and just crying.
And just crying.
And then the makeup people are so upset because they have to redo the makeup again.
Like, the makeup people are becoming chemists to invent, like, really good waterproof makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the amount of tears that happen during Tear.
Yeah, yeah. No. No, it's crazy.
It's a pretty intense one, right?
Yeah, and we might get there one day where we're able to actually break
Every
down
time I
Tear.
See Tear, I'm like, I can't. It's so good, though. It's like, what's crazy is before I knew exactly what it was about, and I just kind of generally knew what it was about. It's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
It always was. It was my favorite Love Yourself album, primarily because of that song.
Yeah.
I love it so much. It is such a good rap line song, and it's so intense and emotional. But it's not like, it's, for me, it's elevated above a Cypher because it's like, the Cyphers are genius.
Oh, yeah.
Don't think that I sleep on the Cyphers. I never would. But it's like, for me, it feels a little bit more, it resonates more because instead of them talking to, like, their haters, it's them talking to themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's them talking to their members. So it's even more kind of intimate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's like, now I can't decontextualize it from what it means. So when I see the performance of it, I'm like, why did you want to bring up being broken up at a concert? When I love you all, you're going to talk about breaking up. That's horrible. Like, it's too much.
Exactly. And it's right at the end of the concert. And just,
you're just like, guys,
there's this explosion.
Stab us right in the heart. Thank you.
And then what's amazing is it's interesting. They hit you in so many different ways. The Truth Untold is hitting you in one way. Outro Tear is hitting you in another way. And then Mic Drop is almost like lifting you back up.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, now that you're sobbing.
Now that we've broken you into a million pieces.
You've been broken and you're just sobbing. Let's get the energy back up with Mic Drop.
Yeah, and it's intense.
And Mic Drop being done in the first stadium show by a Korean act, like, I mean, that's pretty amazing.
No, it's beautiful. And
we saw your bag, BTS.
Exactly.
We saw your damn bag.
And that's the thing, is they finish the concert, and that's basically the end of that disc, you know, and then you put in the other one for the encore.
The encore, and then the behind.
It's so funny, because they come back for the encore with, it's just pure crack. It's like,
yeah.
They're like, now that we've like killed you and you're ready, let's just have some fun. And they just come back with So What.
It's so fun. And they slide around the stage.
Yeah, I mean, it was raining, so it was just like, luckily these aren't really heavy choreography songs. So after So What, they do Ampan Man.
Yeah.
And things just get crazy.
Oh, I love their playful energy too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the great thing with BTS. This is what we're talking about. It's just this, it's a whole range of different emotions, and not one is, you don't go so far into one emotion that you get lost in it.
Yeah, and that's what's cool. You get the full spectrum. That's the thing.
Yeah.
We're not holding back on some emotion because it's uncomfortable.
Right. They'll go there.
Yeah.
They'll do the Rap Line song about them almost breaking up. And they'll talk about successfully learning to love yourself, or like not successfully learning to love yourself until you have an epiphany about it. Like,
yeah,
that's the thing. There's all these different journeys.
Yeah. Right? And they're like almost like teaching you through their songs. Like, you see, this is this and this is this, and it's fine.
And that's a great concert, is that it's going to take you through these very different emotions. And almost in this methodical, purposeful way. I mean, they're very cognizant of like the high energy versus the low energy and how to mix that up so that you have this sort of really thrilling experience.
Yeah.
And they're masters of doing that. But even after I've seen so many different variations of their concerts, it's like the impact is always there. Even if I've seen Love Yourself before and I watch it again, the impact is just like intense. And it's magical. Like, I tried to watch a concert really casually. I tried to just have it on, just, you know, I was bored.
Yeah.
During a concert, but I was a little distracted, you know, when you're in a mood to like play a casual game or something, you know, it's just kind of like half paying attention, and I turn it off. I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
It is impossible to watch this casually for me, because the thrill of like turning the lights off and like dedicating the time and like sitting down and watching it properly, there's nothing like that experience. It's so awesome.
Yeah.
That I just want to do it properly or not at all.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is with anything that's got that it's on that level of like good, I don't know, quality entertainment or whatever, and it just pulls you in, I'll find myself watching it. Like, I'll have thrown all the other things aside if I'm trying to do, you know, gaming and watching something or whatever. Because you're just like, you get sucked in.
You get sucked in.
Yeah.
And really watching it and really, like, empathizing with them as they're going through, like, these different performances, you feel so close to them. You feel so connected to their emotions, and their emotions are just right there.
Oh yeah. And that's why when I'm watching it and I see, like with Just Dance, where he does the move and he's like, I can just like see his face where he's like, nope. And he just moves on. I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I fully get true. What's going on right there.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So we loved it.
Obviously. Yeah. And I mean, the fact that it ends on some beautiful like crack is just like,
it's so fun.
Yeah. It's a like party time.
I do have to say the behind the scenes where Jimin is talking, it's a really nice moment. I really felt his like how profound that experience was for him and how he took it to heart.
Yeah.
I think he really did. I think what I got from it, and this is my interpretation, of course, is that like Jimin was kind of looking at this crowd, looking at this like level of adoration and maybe level of success and saying to himself, a lot of people love me, you know, and maybe I shouldn't tear myself down so much. Maybe I should, you know, receive that love.
Yeah.
And the things that Jimin always talks about ARMY in the most sincere, tender way. It's intense. The way he talks about ARMY is very intense because I think he feels it really intense. I think he feels everything really intensely. Yeah. Just kind of the person he is.
Yeah.
And I think that it's kind of like this decision he made. He's going to receive love from ARMY and he's going to give it back. And if he keeps doing that exchange, you know, then if he follows those feelings, then he can be okay. He doesn't have to worry about being good enough. He just has to worry about loving them and being loved and really feeling it and
yeah.
allow himself yeah, to be loved.
Yeah, exactly. And like, that's the thing is like realizing, hey, maybe this is valid.
Yeah.
Like when someone says you're nice, keep going. He's like, it's true.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like having that realization is pretty profound.
It is. And I think that watching, just like we were saying with Promise, like watching Jimin from the beginning and how much he struggled. Like, he's so amazing. He's such a great performer. But he's also so hard on himself. So, like, I think I'll always really love this concert because this was a point at which Jimin being in BTS and being with ARMY in this moment had such a positive, it was a positive like life change for him.
Yeah. And it's really cool to like, we get to share that.
Yeah. And he shared that with us.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Like, how could you not love that? That your favorite performer is like getting something really great out of doing it, you know, that's actually like growing as a person because of this very difficult, intense career they're doing. Because you hear about the bad parts. You hear about how hard it is to be an idol and how difficult and how hard they work at dance and just how tiring it is, right?
Yeah.
So you know that there's a sacrifice, but it's so important to know that there's this, like, that the benefit they're getting isn't just, like, success. Because, like, I don't know. Money's whatever.
Well, money's yeah. fine. And that's the thing is most people.
I want them to be successful, but I don't yeah. want them to only be successful. I want them to be happy.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing is like oftentimes, like you were saying, people tend to focus on the negative stories that come out. But I really love focusing on these positive changes or these positive effects that it's having on the performers and the,
that's so inspiring.
The fans. Yeah, exactly.
It's so inspiring. Like, even though we will never be members of BTS, we'll never know what it's like to be famous dancers and singers.
Yeah.
That's fine. I can relate to having a hard job that has a positive influence on me in the end. Like, that's a story that I can mirror in my life, even though it's totally different content, right? Like, my story may be some piddly job where I got a few raises for good work that I did. And that story might be shared by millions of people. It may not be even be unique. But I can still relate my story to Jimin's story of one of, like, I worked really hard at something and I felt really bad about myself and I never thought I was good enough. And then I started opening myself up to every time I did hear something good from work, every time I did get good feedback, and I let myself feel that success and I let myself love myself, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I can relate to a story that is at a totally different scale that I'll never experience. It's very powerful for me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's valid, even though it's like, oh, they fly on jets. I was thinking about how Suga says, like, well, you can fly on a plane and we can only fly like private or whatever. Like, it's the same sort of problem. Remember how he kind of translated that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, what did he say? He said something like,
I think it was during Break the Silence.
Like, doing normal things is like rare for me.
Yeah.
And doing extraordinary things is normal.
Yeah.
But that just makes those normal things precious.
Yeah, yeah.
It was something like that. I'm really paraphrasing.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's the kind of profound thing that we're getting at is it's still relatable.
It's still relatable.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's what we're all doing. We're all going through these, like, transformations, right? And figuring out how to take care of ourselves and live happily. And, you know, it's really not that relevant to success. It's really not that relevant to money. It's not that relevant to, like, being perfect or being beautiful. It's relevant to being a flawed human being who wants to do well, who wants to express themselves. And we're all that kind of person, you know?
Yeah.
Most of us are doing that same thing. We're just trying to, like, figure it out and live happily and take care of ourselves. And every time I consume a concert, I don't know. I get that energy, that joy. And then I also get inspired to live a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing I think in the end is it's always a net positive, you know?
Yeah.
It's always beneficial.